Yesterday we reflected on 2 Kings. We saw the difference between King David and King Herod, Herod Antipas. King David was a great king, even though he was a sinner, and he acknowledged that he was a sinner, and the scriptures acknowledge that he's a sinner, but he was still a great king. What made him great was his dedication to the Lord, his submission to the will of God. Herod was not a good king, and part of the reason why is because he did not submit himself to God. He just did what he wanted. So that's what we saw in yesterday's readings. Today we get 2 more kings presented to us, King Solomon in the first reading, and Jesus himself in the gospel. Although the gospel doesn't describe him as a king, but more as a good shepherd, which is also what a good king is. So let's reflect a little bit on what we can learn from both Solomon and especially from Jesus. I think we'll see in both cases the importance of, on the one hand, submitting ourselves to God, and on the other hand, dedicating ourselves to the good of others. That's what a good king does. That's what a mature person does. Solomon in the first reading is newly seated on the throne. His father, David, has passed away, and Solomon is the king. He's got the whole kingdom. It's established securely and in peace. He decides to go to Gibeon, one of the places where God was honored, a shrine there. And so he went there, and it says he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. It doesn't mean literally 1,000. It just meant that he was abundant in his offering to the Lord, probably in thanksgiving and also in asking the Lord's blessing on his reign. So you could see from the very beginning, Solomon is starting on the right foot, something like David, his father. Start with the Lord. Start with respect for God or fear of the Lord. And perhaps because of that good start, or God saw that Solomon's heart was good, God says to him in a dream, "Ask something of me and I will give it to you." Reminds me of those stories as children where the genie comes out of the bottle and offers 3 wishes. And people say, "Oh, I would love to have a big ship," or not. Nowadays it would be, "I'd love a fancy sports car, or the latest video game or something." Maybe a young man would say, "Get me a beautiful girl, get me a treasure." We know from those fairy stories, the choice of the 3 wishes is really important, and there are a lot of foolish decisions that can be made in this satisfaction of our desires. Solomon doesn't fall for any of those traps, and this is his greatness. Even as a young man, he already recognizes the relative value of whatever, lots of money or lots of power or the defeat of his enemies. He realizes that there is something more important, and that is to know the ways of God, to be wise. You know the expression from the scriptures, what is the beginning of wisdom? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord, meaning respect for God, for the ways of God, for the order of God, for the plan of God, the will of God. A willingness to submit ourselves to God is the beginning of wisdom. If we don't have that, we can't even start. Because if we don't have that, we don't have any foundation, no place to stand, nothing to evaluate what we're doing, no criterion. We have to start with God, with at least what we know of God or what God has revealed to us, and respect for what God has revealed. This brings to mind this controversy over the transgender ideology. You know, this keeps coming up in public discourse. Without saying anything about the poor people who struggle with this disorder, society should recognize that the root problem there is lack of respect for God, lack of respect for nature, lack of respect for the order that God has made, male and female. That's the way it is. We don't have to come up with our own. We have to start with, if we're going to have any wisdom at all, we have to start with respect for God. The beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. And if we don't start with that, well, we don't even know the difference between a man and a woman. We don't even know the most basic truth about creation. We don't know the difference between night and day, good and bad. We can't start anywhere unless we start with fear of the Lord. So here we have Solomon, great example of fear of the Lord. He knows, and this is another very important starting point, he knows that he is not wise. He knows that he doesn't know. This is what all wise people know, their limitations. They know that they don't know everything. They don't have supreme knowledge. They recognize that they are still learning. And you know, if you listen to some of the great thinkers in human history, the great scientists, the great inventors, they start with an awareness that there's something more to be discovered, something more to be learned. Anyone who starts with the idea that he already knows everything is very foolish. Solomon starts off right. He says, I'm a youth, not knowing at all how to act. I don't know what to do. Now, probably he knew something. I mean, he was raised by King David and he saw the example of King David. So it's not as if he's an idiot. And he knows he's the king and he knows he has responsibility, but he recognizes that he does not have what is required to be a good king. He doesn't have wisdom. So this is what he asks for. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge your people and to distinguish right from wrong. Very good request. To be able to distinguish right from wrong, something that is often obscure in this foolish world and in our own foolish hearts, we don't recognize what's right and what's wrong. So to have this gift, to be able to recognize, to be able to discern and appreciate what's right and wrong, and then to have the courage and maturity to choose what is right once we see it, that's great wisdom. The wisdom that starts with submitting ourselves to God, because right and wrong is not determined by us. That's determined by God. So the willingness to submit to what God has done, what God reveals, that's wisdom. Listen to the very first verse we had in our responsorial psalm. How shall a young man be faultless in his way? By keeping to your words. How can anyone, young man is the example here because we're talking about Solomon, but whether young man, young woman, old woman, child, how can we be faultless? How can we be good? How can we be wise? Keep to the Lord's words. Okay, so that's a starting point. Now we know Solomon doesn't always remain wise, but at least he starts off very wise because he opens himself to wisdom from God. And God acknowledges, and he does this for everybody. If we want this wisdom, God grants it. If we open our hearts to it and submit to him, he gives us what we ask for. If we ask for foolish things, he usually doesn't give them to us because it's not good for us. So here he gives Solomon wisdom, a heart so wise and understanding that there has never been anyone like you up to now, and after you there will come no one equal to you. Until Jesus, of course, because Jesus far surpasses Solomon. But this is what the Lord says, I'm going to give you what you ask for, because that's a very good thing. Good for you, Solomon, and good for the people. And then he also said, I'll give you riches and glory too. Not that that's going to make you any better, but it might make it possible for you to be an effective ruler. So those are incidental things, riches and glory. Now we turn to Jesus in the Gospel. Jesus, who we know is the King of Kings, who is the wisest of the wise, greater than Solomon, he is a good listener. He's a good shepherd. He starts with his own apostles. The apostles were sent out to proclaim the kingdom, call people to repentance, and they come back and they make their report. And Jesus, seeing their condition, says, come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. He recognizes the need of the apostles is to stop their work, stop their busyness, and spend a little time with him. Rest, in this sense, means more than simply taking a siesta. It means to be with Jesus. It means to be spiritually refreshed. When we talk about Sunday, the Lord's Day, as a day of rest, we don't just mean sleeping in on Sunday morning. We mean it's a time to be spiritually refreshed by deepening our friendship with God, time with the Lord. That's why the church says, go to Mass on Sunday. Make sure that you rest with the Lord. Even though it's maybe doesn't feel restful to have to get up and go to church on a Sunday morning, but it actually is going to the very source of rest, to be with the Lord. Okay, well, that's what Jesus says, and there's so many people around, they can't even eat, and Jesus recognizes the legitimate need of the apostles. Well, the people, they have their own legitimate needs. They're like sheep without a shepherd, and they're hungering for the Word of God. So the apostles need rest. The people, they also need rest. They need the Lord. And they make the effort to go to the deserted place before Jesus even gets there. Good for them. Good for them. That's wisdom on the part of the people. They're like Solomon. They say, well, we don't know what to do. Let's go to Jesus. Very wise. Jesus, when he gets there, gets off the ship or the boat, and he sees this crowd. His heart is moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Just as Jesus saw the need of the apostles, he immediately sees the need of the people, the vast crowd. The first thing they need is not money or power or glory or even food. They need the word. That's why he starts by teaching them many things. These people are hungry for truth. And that's what people are hungry for. They want to know truth. They want to know what's right. That's what our hearts long for. And Jesus provides it. What we see here, now Jesus, and some commentators sometimes misread this and say, well, Jesus abandoned his apostles to take care of the people. No. At the same time that he sees the people as sheep without a shepherd, he is being a good shepherd to the apostles too and giving them an instruction. What's he teaching the apostles? The way of sacrificial love. The way of choosing the good of the other before your own good. That's what a mature king does. That's what a good shepherd does. That's what a mature person does. We sometimes, in fact, very often, have to make, we don't have to, but if we're wise, we choose what is good for another person, even at cost to ourselves. It doesn't mean we have to burn ourselves out. It doesn't mean we have to go crazy trying to save the whole world. It doesn't mean a martyr complex or all the psychological disorders that we can identify. It means love. To love is to choose the good of someone else over your own. The apostles are not sheep without a shepherd. They're not. They have Jesus, and they're following him. So they're not in the same desperate condition that the crowd is. So it's not that he sacrifices the apostles. He teaches the apostles what it means to be a good shepherd or a good king, a good apostle. He teaches us what it means to be a good Christian. So that's what we can learn from this. If we want to be wise, we have to start with fear of the Lord, like Solomon. Start with opening ourselves to God, submitting ourselves to God. When we do this, one of the things God teaches us, one of the central things he teaches us, is the way of love. He doesn't just give us wisdom about how to fix cars or wisdom about how to run our business. He gives us wisdom about how to be holy, how to love. Love God, love our neighbor. And that's what we see best in Jesus himself. So he's raising us up as shepherds, as apostles, as kings. And he wants us to be good shepherds by giving us the capacity to love one another.